This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Michael K. Show.
Adolis Garcia with a solo shot. Blue Jays, two-run shot. Sorry, Rangers, I should say, up 5-3. 4-3. No, is it two? Oh, it's 4-3 now?
They were down 3-2.
They were down 3-2. No, 4-3. I got it. I can't see very well.
You all right?
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Is that... Could it challenge?
No.
I don't think
he
could beat it.
No.
But...
Former Raven.
Replied...
Or current Raven.
Oh, like the game doesn't need him.
Sorry, he's a Charger now.
He's a Charger.
Oh, no, he's a Ram.
No. This is Weddle Light.
Yeah, it's
no, it's not.
It's Weddle Light.
Wait. Former Raven.
Replied...
Or current Raven.
Oh, like
wrong.
The game doesn't need him.
Sorry, he's a Charger now.
Wrong.
He's a Charger. Oh, no, he's a Ram.
Now here's why mine wins, because it was more in succession, and it just flowed better. But yours is in the same room.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Wow. Step away for a couple of hours to do a baseball game, and that's what you miss. Woo-hoo-hoo. That was bad. Wow.
Thank you.
I don't even know what to say, Peter.
Thank you. It was troubling.
It's troubling.
I couldn't
see. That's it. In a word, troubling.
Yeah, I couldn't see very well. It's unfortunate.
Do you need glasses?
It's on the table. Well, I'm thinking about it.
Wow. Wow.
I'm sorry that I let you down.
No, you didn't let me down. You just made drop madness. We're going to start off where you think we're going to start off, with Diamond Notes. Brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. Now, Don and Peter are doing the show. So when you're doing the show, you got to be locked in. And when you're locked in, you could look at the TV and possibly not see it as clearly as you should. And you're going to check in and out, because they're obviously looking for what Aaron Judge is going to do.
Sure. And he did have a couple of bats before the show.
Yes. All right. So he had 5 plate appearances, and he was 1-for-5. And the one thing that tells me that things have changed just a little bit, in the 5 plate appearances, he swung at the first pitch in 4 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not him. You can see it on his face. It is starting to impact the way he's swinging his bat. So I had said for the longest time, when people said, well, is he going to feel pressure? I said, no. He turned down $213 million and stared that right in the face, and it didn't even bother him. He put together one of the great seasons of all time. This is impacting him. There's no denying it. It doesn't say anything bad about him. How many players that are team players can sit back and be the center of attention, not just on your game, but on every game, where Sean McDonough is not happy about it, where they actually cut into one of the hot take shows on ESPN today too early for the Higashioka at-bat? And I think it was the NFL Live. And they were just going crazy. We're cutting in for Kyle Higashioka. Every single thing he's doing is being scrutinized, analyzed, cut down pitch by pitch. Are they pitching to him? Are they not pitching to him? Guys, it's very clear. I'm not saying that he won't hit a home run in the second game tonight or tomorrow. I have no idea. But the Aaron Judge that I'm seeing, I saw something today when he popped up to first base in the 5th inning.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had the opportunity to cover this guy since he's become a big leaguer. I've never seen him fire a helmet like that into the batter, you know, where they have the bat rack and the helmet. I've never seen that, Don.
I saw it.
So this is a little different now. I think it's hitting a little different, as Peter would say.
No, this is, first of all, he's not walking anymore. Over the last few games, you could just see it's draining him. Not, and Michael, I don't think it has to do with the pressure of hitting 62 or not hitting 62. It's more, I just think, that the longer it goes, he's letting people around him down. He's letting his teammates down because they're all rooting for him. I think they're all kind of making their own little sacrifices and having it be about Judge. And he wants to be a team player. He doesn't want anybody thinking and singling him out. He doesn't want to be a traveling circus. And the Marises are traveling. His parents are traveling. And every time he doesn't do it, he's not letting himself down. He feels like he's letting everybody else down. And the analogy I used earlier, Michael, it's like hosting a party that never ends. and he just wants it to end. It was fun for a while, and now it's just, can everybody just go home so that I can just go to bed? And the bed meaning, let's get back to normal. I think the playoffs are actually going to be normal for him. Whether he does it or not, it'll be a sigh of relief. Like, finally, we can get back to just being a team. Finally, we can get back to winning games. Finally, it's not about me.
But do you feel that, Michael, it'll be that way for him in the playoffs if he doesn't get the record? Or will there be a hangover as a result of it?
I think everything gets wiped clean. I think he gets to concentrate on baseball. And you know, we were talking about this on the air. Let's say he doesn't hit the home run, right? He probably has, at most, 10 more plate appearances. Say he doesn't hit the home run. Pretty damn good season.
I'll say.
So, you know, he didn't get 62, but now he sits forever alongside Roger Maris. That's not a bad perch.
Nope.
So, if I was a sports psychologist in that Yankee clubhouse right now, that's what I'd sit him down and tell him. Listen, let's not go crazy over 62. You've already had a season for the ages.
Everything
else is just gravy.
You may have made yourself, $100 million.
Right.
So let's not over. You weren't thinking about, at the beginning of the year, Aaron Judge had one goal. I mean, he would say the goal is a championship. I will tell you, his goal was to make the Yankees know exactly what they have. He did it in every way humanly possible. He never thought at the beginning of the year, I better break Roger Maris's home run record.
No, but again, Michael always talks about it. We all talk about how expectations change.
Would you like the Mets?
And this is a lot like the Mets, Michael, where are you disappointed that you're in the playoffs and you've made the playoffs for the first time since 2016? There's a lot to be satisfied with as a Met fan, but there's the colossal disappointment of not coming through with what you thought was a fait accompli. You felt in August like the Mets were going to win this division going away. And now you got to settle for the wild card. It looked like it was not whether he was going to break the record, Michael. Would it be 65, 66?
Yep. Yep.
There was even a little moment where he might even threaten for 70 the way on pace. So as much as there'll be satisfaction in an unbelievable season, there will be that disappointment that he didn't come through on something that everybody thought was going to be an easy thing that he passed.
And here's my worry about what we're seeing. If I'm the Yankees. Maybe other teams, the playoff teams, go to school on how they're going to pitch to him. Maybe they're seeing things that they had never seen before. Let Judge walk. Let him chase. Let Rizzo beat us. We're not going to let Judge beat us. So did this unlock the key a little bit? I don't think so, because I think he's going to exhale a bit after tomorrow's game and move on from there. But check this out. There have now been 58 plate appearances since he hit 60. In that time, he is 9 for 39. So that's an under .230 batting average, I believe. His on-base percentage is still over .500. But so he's had 58 plate appearances out of 694 this year. So he spent about close to 9% of his plate appearances this season looking for home runs number 61 and 62. This is a little odd to see this. Now, he did start the season with just one home run in the first 13 games. But it's the second time this year he's had now a 13-game span with one home run. The beginning of the season and now this. If you watch the games, everybody, and you just watch him and you know his facial expressions, something's different. I've had people around baseball texting me during the game. He doesn't look right. His face looks different. Yeah, his face looks different because he's not smiling. He's got anguish on his face. He hasn't failed this year, everybody. Very few failures. Now, I wouldn't call this a failure. He's getting on base more than half the time. But
it's not what he wants.
This is not what he wants to finish the year.
Here's the question. Do you think, like earlier, his third at bat where he got the base hit?
It was his fourth.
Fourth at bat. He gets that quick base hit. First pitch, do you think right off the bat he's disappointed?
Yes.
Yeah, he's not having the normal feeling you have of, nice, base hit, let's go.
See, that's where it becomes so abnormal for him.
Right.
Like, he goes, I want to live in a world where I get a base hit and it's a negative. I'm a team guy. A base hit, get leading off an inning is going to help us win a game. But no one cares about whether they win or lose. They only care about him hitting a home run. Even Michael, you said it when they were home. A line drive down the line, there's a sense of disappointment in the crowd because it's not a home run. Normally, they'd be excited. He got on base. He's got the Yankees have a better chance of winning when he's on base. Instead, walks are being booed. There's a sigh when he gets a base hit.
Now, while we're playing psychology games and what are people thinking, I want to ask one to you, Michael.
All right.
Buck Showalter is saying that he still believes they can win the division, and that's what he's focused on, etc. Deep down, while he'd never admit it, do you think he'd just be happier if the Braves won tonight and this thing was over?
Well, I think if the Braves lose tonight, it puts him in a conundrum. Now, I was talking with David Cohen about this. I said, would you start DeGrom on Wednesday if you had a chance? He said, no, I would only start DeGrom if I knew that if we win, we're in. Well, he wouldn't know that. So it does clear that out of the way, Peter, because even the Braves lose tonight and the Mets sweep the doubleheader, and then all of a sudden, whoa, we win and they lose, we're in. Let's start DeGrom. And if you start DeGrom and the Braves win, then you wasted DeGrom.
Right.
That's a really tough call. But I think knowing Buck, he'd want to give it a roll. I think he wants to see the Braves lose.
Now,
he said it.
That's what he said.
He believes in Donnie, he said.
No, I don't think they're going to get two in tonight, right? It seems like they'll get this first one in. It looks like later the weather's going to be pretty tough.
2-0 Mets, what is that, bottom three?
Don't ask me, Don.
Yeah. I think he needs cataract surgery.
Yeah, you know, I can't see a damn thing.
Sad.
But yeah, it is a really interesting moment for both teams. And there's a world in which tomorrow is just a fascinating last day of the regular season for both teams. I mean, if the Mets do get them both in tonight and sweep and the Braves lose, tomorrow becomes must-see TV. And if Judge doesn't hit one tonight, must-see TV.
Now, how does it work, Michael? Because they want everybody to play at the same time, right?
Yep.
If for some reason they can't get tonight's game in, and they can play day or night the doubleheader.
I think they've got to start at like probably 11 or 12.
Yeah, so they have to start it before 4, right? They don't want to have the night game.
Well, no. The game tomorrow starts at 3.
No, everything's a 4:05 start.
4:05, really?
Yeah, that's what I saw on my app. Everything's 4 o'clock tomorrow, all around Major League Baseball. Now, it might be 3 for you because it's Texas.
Yeah, maybe that's what's messing me up.
But
Yeah, it's 4 o'clock all around. You're right.
Right, so
they'd have to start at 12.
So they wouldn't have it play it like this. Like, we're going to start at 4 o'clock, and if we need to play the doubleheader at night, we will. If not, we'll just end it.
I believe that they would start early.
Okay. Now, it's supposed to rain, so I don't know if they're even going to have the luxury of that. But and why don't you play Michael the Dave Rothenberg question from this morning, Peter?
Oh, you know, all right. Here we go.
Is there any way that you would, DeGrom game one, if you win that game, come back with Bassett in game two so you could start the Dodgers series with Scherzer?
Ooh, that's an interesting question.
This is what we do.
Feel more comfortable with him at home? More confidence with him at home?
Because then I would get Scherzer game one and DeGrom game two against the Dodgers.
Which I like. I like that a lot. Yeah, I think I would consider that.
I don't think I would. You got to get there first.
See,
you roll the dice like that?
I liked it at first because I'm thinking, well, then I've got either Scherzer for game one against the Dodgers, or I have Scherzer for the must-win game three if the series is tied at one. But then after thinking about it, Michael, I realized, do you really want to run the risk of getting eliminated from the postseason and never pitching Scherzer?
Well, I mean, that if you win game one, if you lose game two, you're going to pick Scherzer in game three.
Well, that's the other question. Is that, can you change on the fly? Can you tell starting pitchers who are creatures of habit, if we lose, Scherzer pitches game two. If we win, Bassett pitches. Can you do that to a starting pitcher?
I think you can. Have them both ready to go, and then I think it's harder to get ready to go when you're not ready to go. So this way, the guy who's not ready to go knows he's going to pitch game three. I think that's easier to do than all of a sudden coming to go. By the way, you're starting this game, so just get them both ready to pitch game two. And then the one that doesn't pitch, you go, okay, you're next.
Well, then if you can do that with no issues, because I always hear that, like, I don't know if you'd be able to do that to certain pitchers who just have to know everything ahead of time. Well, then there probably is value to having Scherzer pitch a must-win game three or game one against the Dodgers. Because
boy, I don't know if I would do that.
So you'd want to go for the kill shot in game two.
Yeah, I do.
It's an interesting debate. And the other thing, too, Michael,
as much as I love this Met team and I'm picking them to advance, the Padres and Phillies are not going to be pushovers. You should not look at that as an easy win. That Padre team has an outstanding rotation, and they're going to be ready. I don't know how they're going to treat these last couple of games because they have not clinched up the two seed. So the Mets could still play the Phillies. But when you're looking at a series that might be Darvish, Musgrove, and you know Clevenger or Snell, Padres are not – the Mets lost both series to them during the course of the regular season. This Padre team scares me. I just want to focus on beating them, and I'll worry about the Dodgers when I get there.
Padres, they're real. I mean, they've gotten hot at the right time, too. Remember, they've done all of this without Tatis, so they're a pretty good team, and they have a really, right. really, really good manager.
The only reason that they're ignored, Michael, is because of how good the Dodgers have been.
Yes.
Because everybody looked at it and go, you know, the Dodgers have a 22-game lead, but you're still looking at a Padre team that, you know, could still win 90 games. It's not overly impressive, but it's still a pretty good team. I like the Mets' chances, but you still have to be careful.
Now, one final bow on the Judge stuff. So, the Yankees are leading 5-4 in the ninth inning. The first two batters get on. They're out. All right? Kind of Falefa, ground ball to third. Gonzalez strikes out. Now, Higashioka has to get on so that Judge could get one more a bat.
Mm-hmm.
Works the count to 3-1. The crowd's going crazy. Ball four, they go nuts. It's bizarro world. This doesn't happen, and this is on the road. And I'm telling you, Yankee fans might not admit it, the Rangers had a runner at second base with one out in the ninth inning. There's a great contingent of Yankee fans that were rooting for that run to score so that the game could go into extra innings and Judge could maybe get another bat. That's what's changed his mojo. He's not used to this. Nobody is.
No, because it's all about him, and he's not an all-about-me guy.
See, I would thrive in that.
There's certain ball players that would. He doesn't look like the guy that would. Plus, the attendance that they announced for Game 1 was 30,553.
Right.
You know, what would it be, 10,000 people if Judge didn't have a record on the line?
If that. Yesterday, right. I said the same thing. 35,000 yesterday. These games mean nothing for both teams.
Right, so they mean nothing. So even if you're a Ranger fan and hate the Yankees, you're in the building. You want to see history.
Right.
You know, that's the thing. How does a team guy who cares about the team and cares about the Yankees more than anything else thrive under circumstances where all anybody cares about is you? It's got to – and then you're not coming through? That's got to drive him up a wall.
And I think it is. 1-800-919-3776. Let's talk about this. The Mets in the beginning, first game of a doubleheader. Will they get in the second game? A lot of stuff going on. Judge still searching for 62. He is staring at history, and history right now is staring back. It's not that easy to make history, and history's proving that it's a tough customer. Well, those are Diamond Notes brought to you by Two by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engager ring to fit every budget at any of their 6 area locations. Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you, Ray Rowe only, right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
The injuries continue to mount. Ron Marinaccio has a stress fracture in his shin. Started bothering him in July. They finally did a bone scan, and they found the stress fracture. He was politicking with Aaron Boone. I could pitch through it. I don't mind the pain. I want to pitch in the ALDS. And he said, no, it's too much of a risk. So they shut him down. They activate Albert Abreu, and they hope that he'll be ready to go if they're in the ALCS. But that's a big blow. You take a look at the Yankee bullpen right now, and you go, there's no closer out there. The days of Mariano, they're over.
Oh, yeah.
Not going to be easy. Not going to be easy to win a World Series that way.
Michael, what did you think of my text to you last night with regard to Seve?
I think it's interesting. I think that Severino's performance last night opens up the door that it's not just a slam dunk, that it could be Cole. And Cole addressed it yesterday saying, I didn't come here to be the number one starter. I came here to win a world championship. I didn't come here to be the game one starter. Of course he came here to be the number one starter. And I think he's, you know, he's cool with it. You know, he's going to pitch in that series. But I think it would probably be a choice between Cole and Cortez. Although I think Severino probably puts his way into that conversation. I still think they're going to start Cole.
Again, what was it, 93 pitches last night? It stunk. I'm not mad at anybody for it. I get it. It just stinks. The guy's got a no-hitter through seven, and he can't continue.
I would have been red hot if he wasn't a couple of starts off the IL. Like if Cole has a no-hitter through seven, he's at 93 pitches, they take him out. That would bother me. But yeah. I understood what they were doing.
No, yesterday. I understand. It's frustrating. Just
he was clearly frustrated, too.
Yeah, that I know no-hitters may not have the same feel as they did back in the day or whatever, but it's still something special. And it's special for him, I'm sure. But I get it. If it's the eighth inning, it did sound like after the game that had he been, 93 pitches through eight, he might have had him come out for the ninth. But knowing that he was going to have to go through eight and then pitch the ninth, then it probably would have gotten too out of hand. He was already over the limit, right?
Yeah, they probably want to keep him right around 85 to 90. So,
but here's the argument I'm making. And I was being a little trolly on Twitter saying that right now, you know, Seve's the best pitcher the Yankees have. But I will say that at this moment in time, Michael, over the last few weeks, the best stuff I've seen has come from Seve.
Yeah, he was filthy last night.
I mean, last night was pure filth. Like,
and when they asked him, would you have pitched a no-hitter, he said 1,000%.
What was last pitch was 95 miles an hour.
I think it might have been more than that.
It might have been 97.
He threw a 100-mile-an-hour pitch yesterday.
Like, here's the question, Don, I ask you. Nestor's obviously had, you know, Seve hasn't been here. Nestor's had a great year, no doubt about it. But if you have the option to choose between hitting on all cylinders Cortez or all cylinders Severino, who are you taking?
Well, Severino's got more of a track record because he was lights out before the Tommy John.
Mm-hmm.
We were expecting this. Remember, there was actually a conversation, as laughable as it is now, who's better, DeGrom or Severino? Like, that's how good he was when he first came in. So it'd probably be Seve. But you can't ignore Cortez either. His last outing was spectacular.
He was.
It's a nice problem to have.
Yeah, that's what I said too, Don, on the broadcast, where, all right, whoever you pick to pitch game one, then one of the other two is going to pitch game two, and then the final one is going to pitch game three. How many teams are going to the postseason right now with as good a top three as they have? Oh, and then Tyone's not too bad.
And here's the craziest part about it, is that the piece you're kind of most concerned about at this moment is Cole.
It's the stud.
That's what's wild. Because otherwise, if Cole was just being completely Cole right now, I would say the Yankees are in a great situation, sort of opposite of the Mets, who now over the last couple of starts kind of have reason to worry about DeGrom and Scherzer. I mean, not worry, but not feel as confident as you often feel or as you did a couple of months ago.
Well, those are the injury report, Yankee injury report, brought to you by Total Orthopedic Spine and Sports Medicine.
Sure.
Total Ortho Express is Long Island's premier orthopedic immediate care where no appointment is needed. After all, time doesn't heal wounds. They do. Let's go to the phones. What do you think?
Yes.
How about a little Carlos in the car? What's up, Carlos?
Hi, guys. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
If I was Aaron Judge, I would just take a game off. And in doing so, I would just sit down with myself and realize that this next home run may or may not happen and be fine with it. You already had a crazy season. You know, the Babe is one of the most recognizable names in the history of the world. And in 61, when Maris broke that record, you guys know all that it took out of him in doing so. You know, an average player with a nice couple of years, and here you are breaking that record, and that catapulted him into baseball immortality, if you would. Judge just needs to just relax. The hardest thing to do is to try to do something that you really want to do, Even for a right-handed player, when they ask you to hit to the right side, that's super hard to do when you really need to do it. You know, what do you guys think about that guy? Just take a game off.
I thought he should have taken off yesterday, and we talked about that a little. Then you still have three games, a doubleheader today. Don and Peter, I don't know how you feel. Would it help him to have, like, he's already played today. So what's the difference between five plate appearances and 10? Well, I think he has to play. I mean, he's only got 10 plate appearances left.
That's it.
I mean, you can't just give up on getting this record. So I think they put themselves in a situation he's got to play.
If they were going to give him a day off, it would have been where there's more than one game after the day off to do it. Because now what you're literally doing is cutting his opportunities in half.
Right.
From, as you said, it could be 8 at-bats, maybe 10, to now 4, possibly 5 at-bats. And now the pressure of knowing there is no tomorrow, that this is it, you had to give him a little bit more of a margin for error. You can't cut him in half, Michael. He's got to play. Now you get DH. He doesn't have to play the field. And what this also does, Michael, is I think it ends really any conversation of it being more than 62.
Because he is 62. He might be taken out of the game.
He might be taken out of the game and probably not play tomorrow.
You're right.
So that's the one. If you want to see, if he breaks the record, he breaks the record. It doesn't matter. But the idea that it could have been more than 62, I think, probably is off the table unless he just has a monster night tonight.
Let's go to Brian in Millburn. What's up, Brian?
Hey, I'm a big fan. I'm calling on a subject about fandom. And I was thinking about Don, how Don, you know, worked for the Rangers. I know he's a big Devils fan. I know he never thought back growing up, Mark Messier making that guarantee against our Devils, that he would become that.
Right.
But y'all right. Every time somebody call y'all station and say, oh, I root for the Yankees and the Mets. No, you can't do that. Or I root for the Giants and the Cowboys. No, you can't do that. You're not really a true fan. Thank you.
Yeah, Brian, I appreciate the call. Now, listen, what I was saying earlier, Michael, I'm curious to get your feedback, is John Winthrop, Pinhead Suit, was in the studio earlier. We were all having a chat. And he was openly out loud rooting against Judge. I expressed that it felt a little pathetic. Don feels that it's just good old-fashioned fanship. I'm guessing you lean towards Don.
I lean and I move all my furniture toward Don, everything.
Wow.
Why would a Met fan want Aaron Judge to have glory?
I mean, I understand not wanting it. I just wouldn't care enough. Listen, I didn't grow up here. I don't know the pain that John Winthrop went through as a child, being ridiculed by Yankee fans, as a teenager when the Yankees were dominating and the Mets were not great. I understand. But I didn't live through it. So to me, when I see another player doing something great, I go, hey, I'll sit here and enjoy it as a sports fan. I'm not rooting for it. I'm not rooting against it. I guess I'm trying to think if there's an equivalent, like a Cowboys – Dak Prescott was...
No, did you root for Emmitt Smith to break the rushing record?
No, I didn't root for it, but I also wasn't standing up and cheering against it. I just sat there and always thought, hey, I'm a Barry Sanders guy.
You know what? If you think about, I mean, we can't lift the curtain that much, but a lot of the things that Winthrop roots for has not happened lately, so... He needs a W.
I don't even know. That was proven to not be true recently.
Oh, I don't buy that for a second.
Oh, you think he was back then?
Yeah. Not for a second. Let's go to Penny in Long Island. Pen, what's up?
Hey, Michael. I just wanted to ask the question, would the cheers be the same if Judge hit an inside-the-park home run versus hitting it out of the stadium?
Oh, I think it'd be bigger, Penny.
Huge.
It would be amazing.
It'd be incredible.
It would be amazing. He's rounding third. Here's the throw. Here's the play at the plate. 62, baby!
That was something special we just went through.
Do we have an anti-curmudgeon call of the day? Because, Penny, that was a gorgeous call. Gorgeous call.
I mean, it would be tremendous.
You can't say see ya, though.
I don't care. Not about me.
Yeah, but just the excitement, the build-up. No, it would be so much better. And the ball would be his because it would be in the park.
He doesn't have any career-wise, does he?
I don't remember him ever having one, no.
Now, he has his share of triples. He can do it.
Oh, he can do it.
That would be... I don't even like that she put it in my head. How cool that would be.
And now I could just have the Yes Guys tape what I just did, and I don't even have to call it.
Yeah, just sit back.
Let's go to Justin in Denville. What's up, Justin?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So I agree with Peter that Mets fans booing Judge and not wanting him breaking the record is somewhat just pathetic and sad just because it doesn't really change anything when you think about it. A Yankee already has the record, so it'll just be a Yankee surpassing another Yankee. I mean, I'd understand if the record was held, for example, by like a Baltimore Oriole or any other AL team and you're mad just because you don't want to see a Yankee play.
But you're a Yankee fan.
And if you're... Yes, I am.
So, of course, you're going to think a Met fan's pathetic. So but you're kind of biased.
A Yankee already has a record, though.
But it's not about that for him. It's just that it's just more attention on a team he doesn't like. Would you be rooting for Alonso to break it?
I mean, if another Met already had it, like Daryl Strawberry, I wouldn't really care because it's the same. Nothing's changing. It's just another player on the same team. So a Yankee player.
Are you going to root for the Mets to win the World Series?
For the Mets, no, I wouldn't.
Are you not going to care? Or are you going to root against them?
I mean, I probably wouldn't really care to be completely. I mean, I'm not a huge baseball fan, so I probably wouldn't care that much. But no, but
so I'm just case, how, I mean, how is it any? And well, he's not a huge baseball fan, so it's tough to ask you. But I would think Yankee fans will be rooting for the Padres in the wild card round, right, Michael? Rooting
Absolutely.
Again. But how does that affect the Yankees? You know, wouldn't you want to take on the Mets in the World Series? Like you're going to have to worry about the team you're playing in the divisional round because you hate the Mets. So if you hate the Mets, why would you want a Met to do something great, like win a World Series or win a divisional round or win the wild card or break a record?
Oh, I don't
know.
So I don't agree with that sentiment, though.
Why?
I believe – well, I just imagine – I could be wrong. Call us up and tell us. I would imagine there are Yankee fans who, even though they hate the Mets and want them to lose, would be rooting for them to get to the World Series to beat them. I think there are people out there
who want
that.
No, I think the only way Yankee fans would root for the Mets to win that first-round series is because I think Yankee fans still have an unbelievable affection for Buck.
Yeah, that might be different.
That makes it a little different.
You don't think any fans out there would just be like, I want another Subway Series? I want to beat the Mets again.
Be careful what you wish for. Remember in 2004, we want the Red Sox again. Well, how'd that work out?
Well, but the point is, if you don't like a team, and it makes sense for a Yankee fan to not like the Mets and vice versa. So if you're going to root against them in the playoffs and root against them today against the Nationals, then why would you root for Judge to hit a home run? Like, it just seems like it all makes sense. Right, Michael, to just root against the Yankee if you're a Met fan.
And even though a Yankee holds the record, you don't want to see the guy on your watch when you're a fan set the record again. You just don't want to see it. So Met fans, I don't think most Met fans are rooting for Judge. I think most baseball fans are rooting for Judge. Probably not Red Sox fans.
Hey, I don't, Michael, I probably don't have any real love for the Cardinals. But since they left the division, the hatred for them that I had for the Tommy Hurs and Willie McGee's and those guys, the John Tudors, have kind of gone. I was happy that Pujols hit 700, and then I has 703. What does it matter? You know, as a baseball fan, you want to see certain things. But when a team you don't like is doing something, why the heck would you root for it?
Seems a little odd. All right, we'll continue to take phone calls. A lot of people have a lot of takes on these topics. That's what we're here for, to walk you through it. We're so pumped up to be with you. Really. This is a big day for me, guys. You know, realize that? So this morning I got up and did the Joel Sherman and John Heyman podcast.
That's cool.
The show. And then I did the first game. Now I'm with you guys. And then I'll do the second game. And then I'm going to wake up early in the morning and do Dan Patrick's show. I'm just a lunatic is what I am.
The Dan Patrick Show and then another game.
That's right.
And then
do the show and then head to St. Louis for the St. Louis Cardinals series.
We're curious. Are you going from Texas to St. Louis or
no.
Will you stop home?
I'm going to stop. I got to repack.
That's true because you might be there for 3 days.
Yeah. Yeah, I only packed 3 suits. I will not change between doubleheaders. I'm just telling you that.
No, you shouldn't.
No, I won't. We'll come back. We'll take more phone calls. Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
We haven't seen the Yankee lineup yet. Earlier, right when the media met with Aaron Boone, he said he might be in the lineup, according to Aaron Boone, about Aaron Judge. I think he will be. But at that point, he was saying he might be. Also, he was asked, is Judge getting off his good swings lately? And here's the Yankee manager.
I do. As we talk about, even Aaron at times this year, when you go through a little few game stretch, you know, he's gotten some pitches to hit here the last couple days, you know, and generally he's gotten a good swing off and fouled it off. And that's usually that fine line difference between when you're really rolling or you're kind of just a tick off. So I think he's gotten some pitches instead of really sticking them like he has 61 times or and even more, obviously, you know, he's fouled some balls off, but I don't think he's far off, you know, and then coupled with for everyone involved, pitcher, opponent, you're playing now games that aren't affecting the standings. It's a little bit of an odd, just a little wrinkle into the competition. You know, that's, you know, there's probably a little something to that too. But no, as far as his at bats, where he is physically, you know, he's fine.
Now, in terms of it being a little different, Kyle Higashioka, who had a home run to tie the game at four, has 10 home runs. Didn't have a home run until June. So he's matched his career high. He's making a push for more playing time in the postseason. He's a good catcher, too. He said when he walked in the ninth inning, that's the loudest ovation I've ever gotten. On a walk in a visiting ballpark. That's how different this is. That's how different this is. Mm. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Steve in Virginia. Stevie.
Yeah, hey, guys. Yeah, appreciate the opportunity to come on. Love you guys. I'm in Virginia, and I love getting a little bit of New York every day. I'm in the military, so I don't get a chance to get up to New York as much as I did growing up. But hey, here's my thing. If Judge gets down to his last at-bat,
right,
the pitcher's got to throw him a cookie, right? He's got to throw him a groove him a cookie, maybe
no.
Split the $2 million with whoever catches the ball. Come on.
I don't see it happening.
I think that one thing about the Texas Rangers, guys, I don't know if you've noticed, Chris Young, their GM, said before the series started, we will not pitch around him. And they have come right at him. He's had pitches to hit, and he's just missed them and fouled them back. So, no, I don't think why cheapen the record?
Think about the attention that final at-bat would get tomorrow.
Oh.
Because that's it. If it's 10-0 Yankees and it's in the top of the ninth inning, you know this is going to be the last at-bat. The attention on it would be enormous. And you think you want to be the pitcher to give it up? At that particular moment, you want to try to win the battle. Like we said before, I don't want to throw him a cookie. If he hits a home run, he hits a home run. But I want to challenge him and in that great moment, show everybody that I was able to beat the best. But the attention would be pretty incredible if it came down to that. And it's starting to feel like it's going to, right?
Yes. Oh, boy. Can you imagine? We can imagine. It's four bats away pretty much. That it might come down to that. I think now, you know, we open the 5 o'clock hour. He's feeling it now. I mean, Aaron Boone can say whatever he wants. His swing is not the same. He's got a slight uppercut. He's trying to hit everything out to left field. So everything that made him put together this magical season, it's not the same as it was. So it's a little different.
Like the caller said before, whenever you try to do something, usually the opposite happens. And part of the great thing about him, that's why he has such a great batting average and on-base percentage, is because he's not up there trying to hit home runs. But now he is because he wants to get this thing over with. And he's swinging at the first pitch because he knows that might be the best pitch he gets the entire at-bat.
Yep.
And he's not going to take any chances of taking what might be the only pitch that he gets.
Let's go to Carlos in Danbury. What's up, Carlos?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How are you?
Not bad. I just want to get the point across. I think every baseball fan should be rooting for Aaron Judge to break that record. Whether
even
you're a Mets
fan.
And this is coming from an Astros fan.
But why?
And I tune in. I think it's just great for baseball, right? I think to bring that excitement, not too many people, baseball fans now have that memory of Maris hitting 61, right? So I want to be a part of that story to be able to tell my kids and my grandkids I was there, I was live when this was happening and all the excitement building around it. I think it's great for baseball, and it's between him and Ohtani being the poster child of baseball, and I think it'll be great. And I'm rooting for him.
I can almost see you as an Astro fan. That's fine, but I mean, I guess the argument that we're having, would a Met fan want it to happen? As a baseball fan, yeah, you should want it to happen. It's tremendous, and the fact that he's even approaching getting 62 is an amazing thing for baseball, whether he gets it or not. But I can't see a Met fan rooting for a Yankee to do something so great.
But both could be true,
right,
where you're paying attention
right,
to see if he does it, you know, and you could tell your grandkids, I remember I was there
when Judge hit the home run, but then not wanting it to happen at the same time. I understand it's good for
baseball.
Can I be
honest,
but I don't know how much it really is.
I know you're going to agree with this, Don. The number 62, the telling your grandkid you saw it, is that really a thing?
But
you're not a Yankee fan?
But how is history going to remember what could – because I think as time goes on, guys, 73 is going to be more accepted. As different generation of baseball fans come in that maybe don't understand PEDs or care about PEDs, Michael, 50 years from now, is this going to be remembered or is 73 going to be even more widely accepted as the number and this is just the American League record? Like, I don't know. I'm probably leaning towards it not being as much of a history as when you saw McGuire and Sosa chasing after it.
Well, it's going to get complicated, though, even more complicated, because what was the time frame you gave?
Like 50 years.
No, I don't think there'll be an American in National League. I think those are going to be erased, and there's going to be realignment and stuff like that.
But Michael, people celebrating this, they're not celebrating the American League record. They're celebrating it because it's a Yankee record, and it's what many people accept to be the actual record. Why would anybody care about the American League record or the National League record? I think most fans are real. There's interleague play now. There's been interleague play for 25 years. You know, so there's interleague play every day now. I just think that there are going to be – would you agree a younger generation accepts 73 because they don't care about PEDs?
Probably, yes.
So they're going to pass down to their kids that it doesn't matter. And then all of the gatekeepers of baseball are going to be gone. There'll be new writers. There'll be new voters to the Hall of Fame who are going to grow up in an era where PEDs were kind of accepted. We had a fan earlier, like, why isn't this a football thing? Why is it just a baseball thing? Part of it's the numbers, but part of it's baseball has gatekeepers that care about these records and make sure that the cheaters get exposed that other sports don't have. Well, no offense to those guys, but eventually they're going to retire. They're going to move to Florida. They're going to pass on. And another generation of writers, are they going to be the same gatekeepers? Or are they going to look at things a lot differently?
So is that the first stage of passing on, moving to Florida?
Well, I was just saying retirement. I didn't want to kill off the people that – because we all envision – when I said the gatekeepers, there are certain faces that popped into your mind.
Right.
I don't want to see those people pass.
But you assume they're moving to Florida before they do.
Yes.
Just for the taxes.
Well, that's what you do, right?
I guess. You know what I've been getting a lot of lately?
What's that?
A lot of mail for burial insurance. Leave me alone.
Oh, no.
I'm not ready for burial insurance, and I don't need it. Thanks. I don't want these anymore. Every day I get like five of them. Don't you need burial insurance? No, I don't. I'm fine. I don't need it. I got money put away for a crypt. Leave me alone.
Oh, then that's all you need. Then obviously you're somebody that doesn't need it.
But why do they have to remind me that I'm closing in?
Well, listen, we're all closing in.
Every second.
So, but you don't want to leave a burden for the people that are going to have to
really,
do these things.
I'm not going to be around. No, I'm not going to know their burden.
You don't care about problems you may leave Jody and the kids?
They're not going to be left with any problems whatsoever. In fact, when I go, they're going to have one problem taken away.
Oh, my God. So dark.
There's no bigger and more anticipated ENN than the one in the middle of a day-night doubleheader where Judge is chasing 62 and didn't get it in the first game.
Yep.
And the whole world is like now looking at game two. And Peter's going to lead them smoothly into that with an ENN for the ages.
Oh, yeah.
You're excited, right?
I couldn't be more. Also, you didn't include when it happens on Erev Yom Kippur, right before Yom Kippur.
You know what? I didn't even think of that. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
Yep.
So that's happening in just a moment. Stay tuned for that on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.